Pray before we get into God's word. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that you are here with us. Jesus, we give you glory and honor. We thank you that you are head of this church and that we are your body. Lord, we thank you for your word. As we open and turn to your word this morning, Lord, we open our hearts and our ears to hear. And Lord, we just pray that you would use the word that you've prepared this morning to speak to us, Lord. I pray that anything that's of me would be gone and it just be from you, Lord, from your throne, delivered by the power of your Holy Spirit, Lord, for the edification and encouragement of us as your body, as your children. And we ask for that blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. So on September 18th, we as a church are entering into a week of prayer. I don't know if you received this month's newsletter or checked on our website, but September 18th to the 25th, 7 days of prayer, we're asking you guys, the church, to put emphasis on your prayer life. And in fact, this fall, our call to action as a church is to focus on prayer. And we're kicking that off with the prayer week that's coming up. And this morning, I want to ask you to take an honest look at your prayer life, to analyze it. What is your prayer life like? What's it like daily, weekly? And my hope and prayer is the Holy Spirit will begin to speak to all of us about our prayer life. It is so important. And my prayer is that the Holy Spirit is going to move upon the men and women, the youth, even the children of this church, and put a burden of prayer on all of us. To be a praying church. I know that we all pray, but it's something that we can keep growing in. And to really press in to God through prayer. If we're going to move ahead, it's because God first moved in us, in our hearts, in our church. As we pray, God will move. This week I was praying with Gimo. If you don't know, he's been hired as our part-time Finnish chaplain doing work here, and we were spending time with prayer and discussing this idea of prayer, and Gimo just said, well, it can't hurt. It can't hurt to pray. It's always a good thing, right? It's a powerful thing. And prayer often precedes a move of God. My point today is simple. We must give ourselves to prayer. If you want God to move in your life, pray. If you want God to move in the lives of your children, pray. If you want God to move in our church, pray. If you want more of God, pray. If you wonder what God's will is for you, here it is. Be devoted to prayer. Be devoted to prayer. It is God's will for every single born-again believer in Jesus Christ to be devoted to prayer. It's what the early church devoted themselves to, and I want to read a few passages from Acts. I have them up on the screen there for you. Starting with Acts chapter 1, verse 14. All these with one accord, so all these speaking of all the disciples of Jesus, all these with one accord were devoting themselves to prayer, together with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brothers. Acts chapter 2, verse 42 says, and they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship and to the breaking of bread and the prayers. Acts chapter 6, verse 4 says, but we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word. So it's clear that the early church was devoted to prayer. It was a big part of the early church, of what they did when they came together. So what does it mean to be devoted to prayer? What does that look like? Well, it means to have a lifestyle that prayer is an integral part of your life. You're giving yourself over to something. When I say my father, he's a devoted father, or someone's a devoted student, what does it mean? Well, it means that when we are appointed to a task or take a task upon ourselves, we give ourselves to that task. And for a Christian, that means a life devoted to prayer. It's not limited to just prayer, but a big part of it is being devoted to prayer. So my question is your life devoted to prayer? To say that someone is devoted to their family does not mean that family is all they have and all they do, but it does mean that they give time for it. They make time for it. It's a big priority in their life. They even sacrifice things in their own lives to take up that importance of what that thing that they are devoted to is. You're giving yourself to it. It's a major priority in your life. So much so that there is evidence seen in your life of that devotion. It means that it affects your life and that you give yourself to prayer in many different ways. There have been so many prayer warriors throughout history. I'm sure some names come to mind when you think about it. And that gives us an example of what a life devoted to prayer looks like. And one of these prayer warriors was none other than our Lord Jesus Christ himself, who had a devoted life of prayer. We read so often that he isolated himself or went somewhere away from the crowds and people to pray. And if the Son of God needed to pray, the Messiah, how much more do we need to pray? Another figure that comes to mind is Martin Luther. And I've heard how Martin Luther was so busy that he devoted 4 hours every morning in prayer. 4 hours! 4 hours of prayer. I don't know about you, but this drives me further under the pile of guilt and inadequacy of prayer in my life. Like, I honestly can say I've never prayed for 4 hours in a morning. And perhaps Luther's prayer life has motivated some to become more faithful in prayer, but to be honest, that kind of demotivates me. It makes me feel that I'm so far from that standard and that I'll never come close to that. And so I trudge along in this kind of inadequacy if I compare my prayer life to someone like Martin Luther. Many times our life that is devoted to prayer can look different from the life of someone else's prayer life. We should not compare ourselves and try to find motivation to pray from places of guilt, of feeling inadequate or trying to measure up. Because guilt is a crummy motivator. I don't know if you've ever noticed that, but guilt is just the worst motivator ever. It may last for a little bit, but it won't push you through anything significant. Instead, we should be spurred to life devoted to prayer because of God's grace and mercy. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 said, "Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." Can I hear an amen? Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Think about that. I'm going to read that again. Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Wow. Find motivation for a devoted prayer life by considering often the mercies of God daily. Because of God's many mercies, our transgressions are removed from us, our sins are forgiven. He has saved us from the wages of sin, which is death, and brought us to eternal life in his Son, Jesus Christ. What grace and mercy that is from our Creator God. Because of God's many mercies, we are born again. We are spiritually born again to a new life in Jesus Christ. Because of God's many mercies, we have a living hope of eternal life in Jesus Christ. And when we consider these things daily, it motivates us to come before our God in prayer. Because we see the love and the grace and the mercy and just what He's done for us. And because of these mercies, we're to present ourselves to God as living sacrifices. Because of His mercies, we should be motivated to draw near to Him, our Savior, our Lord, and pray every day. So find your motivation, your call to prayer every day because of God's mercy, His grace, and love for you. He is near to you every day. Your devoted life of prayer may look different than someone else's, but it will be still a significant part of your life. It is more than just praying at mealtimes or in the midst of a crisis or praying before a big exam at school or praying with your kids at bedtime. Yes, it will include those times, but it's more than that as well. What the New Testament means by being devoted to prayer is more than just these kind of ritualistic times of prayer that we have throughout the day. Paul writes in Ephesians chapter 6, 18, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. And in Colossians chapter 4, verse 2, it says, devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. And finally, 1 Thessalonians 5, 17 says, pray without ceasing. The Greek word translated without ceasing was used to describe a relentless hacking cough or a repeated military assault. So the idea is that we're not praying every waking moment, but rather we keep coming back to pray again and again and again. We're relentless in prayer. So these verses tell us that prayer is not just these little segments of our lives. Rather, prayer is to permeate our daily life. We should pray virtually about anything and everything. And that's the example that Jesus set for us as well. And so being devoted to prayer is one of those commands that I'll never be able to kind of check off and say, yep, got that down, let's move on to the next thing. It's something that we just keep growing in and building in our life and giving ourselves to over and over again. There is always room to grow more devoted in prayer. And my prayer is that this message will help move us in that direction, help move you in that direction. Prayer. If you're not devoted to prayer, you need to do something about it. You need to do something about it. Don't leave here thinking, yes, okay, and then forget about it. Do something about it. And don't say, I'll start tomorrow. Start this afternoon. Start this evening. And don't put a lofty goal 4 hours in the morning because you'll crash and burn. But set something realistic for yourself and stick to it. Make a plan. Be devoted to prayer. Why does the New Testament tell us to be devoted to prayer? Well, simply because God commands it. To be disobedient to God is foolishness and even dangerous. You may be thinking, Pastor Yarno, prayer does not come easy for me. Sure, it's easy for you, Welcome to the human race that is fallen and sinful. I know very few people that say prayer comes easily to them. It's because prayer is not of the flesh, but of the spirit. And our flesh fights against it, constantly battling against it. But what helps me in my prayer life is reading the Word. Because it takes faith to pray, and faith comes by hearing the Word of God. The Psalms tells many times that the Word refreshes us, revives us, renews us, and preserves life. All verbs describe an awakening of the heart by the Holy Spirit so that the desire and strength and the appetite to pray is there. Another reason to be devoted to prayer is because of the needs in your life. We all have needs, right? Is there anybody here who doesn't have needs in their life? We all have needs. The needs of your family, of your children, your wife, the needs of this church, the needs of the community that you're in, the needs of other churches, the needs of the world, they're huge. And the reality is life is war. Life is war. And prayer is a weapon we have at our disposal for this spiritual war. Often we do not view it this way because we're deceived into thinking that life is no big deal or full of enjoyment and pleasure, entertainment and smooth, sunny ways. But that is deception. We have an enemy of our soul who wants to tear us away from God, to see us destroyed and to see the church destroyed. And the Bible talks about our need to wake up. It even uses the word sleeper. Ephesians 5:14 says, "Awake, O sleeper." And that is what we all need to do as it concerns our prayer life. To wake up. We take prayer for granted often. Many of us only pray when we need something or when we're in trouble. I've heard the term that these type of people are called 911 prayer people. And I was just actually reminiscing about, wow, where was it now? With a group of people, we were talking about prayer, and I remember when I was a kid, I was in my early teens, and I was sleeping in the middle of the night, and all of a sudden there was a huge crash of thunder and lightning. And it was so loud, it was right above our house. We were living in the Langley house, and it shook the whole house. Like, I'm not kidding, the whole house shook. The window panels were shaking. And I woke up to that, and I remember the scripture saying that when Jesus comes back, it'll be like a lightning from the east and the west. And I jumped out of bed, and I got on my knees, and I prayed, and I started confessing my sins, because I knew at that point in my life, I had unconfessed life, and sin in my life, and I wasn't right with God. And the fear took me. That was 911 praying for you. But prayer should be praises as well as requests. We, of all people, should be experts at praying, right? We're Christians. We're God's church. We're His people. But sadly, some of us need to be taught, again, the basics of prayer. There's a movie called The War Room. Anybody seen The War Room? Okay, one. I saw a head nod. Anybody else? Okay, another one. It's a good movie. It's a movie about prayer. And it's a dramatic presentation of why we should pray, how we should pray, and when and for whom we should pray. I encourage all of you who haven't seen it, watch The War Room. It's a good movie. Cheesy at times, yeah, but really good underlying message on the power of prayer. But seldom, perhaps, do you see prayer as a offensive weapon against the enemy? Do you see that? That it actually is a weapon given to us by God to fight against what the enemy is trying to do in our lives, in the life of our church. And it's a weapon because it can bring strongholds down. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, chapter 10, verses 3 to 4 says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we are not waging war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds." Prayer is a powerful spiritual weapon we have been equipped to use by God. Use it. Use it. Another reason to be devoted to prayer is because God acts when we pray. God moves through our prayers. Jesus says in Mark chapter 11, verse 24, the words of our Lord and Savior says, "Therefore I tell you, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours." God can do more in 5 seconds of prayer than we can do in 5 years. All things are possible to God. He is all-powerful, all-knowing, almighty. When I was thinking about this and writing this, came to mind, and sorry, Jim, to pick on you here, but at camp, Jim burned his hand pretty bad on the stove. And the next day, he showed me, he says, look how well it's healed. I said, wow, amazing. It probably wasn't that bad of a burn. He said, no, I prayed and I believed that God's got it. And that faith just spoke to me that, hey, we need to really believe in our prayers, that God hears them and answers them, even on simple things like that. If we will pray, God will work. When we pray in accordance to the will of God that is taught to us through the scriptures, God answers. And not only that, we must have faith in our prayers, trusting that God has heard them and He will answer. Through Jesus, we have access to the Father, the Creator of all things, seen and unseen. The living God hears our prayers. Think about that. Think about the awesome privilege we have to pray. The Bible says in Hebrews 4:16 that your prayers go into the very sanctuary of heaven, to the throne of grace. Wow. And the Bible tells us in Psalm 141:2 that our prayers rise like incense, a fragrant offering to God. Imagine that your prayers are like the scent of a perfume, pleasing to God. How awesome is it that we have a loving God who has given us the gift of prayer, who hears us and listens to our prayers and answers our prayers. There is no other God like Him. How can I be devoted to prayer? Well, being devoted to prayer means that not only will you regularly pray alone, but also you'll regularly spend time praying with other Christians. I don't know about you, but it's easier for me actually to spend longer times in prayer with another believer than by myself. There is something in that when believers come together and pray. There's power in that. Yes, it's crucial that we meet God alone. Without our one-on-one time with God in prayer, our spiritual life is hollow, like a shadow. Susanna Wesley, mother of John and Charles Wesley, had many children, upwards of 10, I believe. And she used to pull her apron over her head in the kitchen. And all the children had learned that this meant that they must be silent in the kitchen because their mother was praying. Before the service, Russ was telling me that he has a special place at a table where he goes to pray. And for some reason, that place is a place where he really experience his power in his prayer and time with the Lord. Susanna Wesley had that when she pulled the apron over her head and prayed. Find that place where you can really connect with God daily. And parents, teach your children this by your example. The New Testament is full of corporate prayer gatherings. In fact, most prayer in the New Testament is probably thought of best in terms of gatherings for prayer by the church. In Acts 12, after Herod killed James, the brother of John, with the sword, he arrested Peter. Peter was put in prison, and Herod intended to kill Peter after the Passover was done. However, the church gathered together and interceded in prayer for Peter. And on the night before he was to be brought out before the people to be slain, the angel of the Lord appeared to Peter in prison. The guards were kept in deep sleep, and Peter's chains fell off, and the prison doors opened on their own and let him out. It's because of the prayers of the church interceding for Peter. There is such power in prayer. There is power when we gather together in prayer, church, and intercede on behalf of others. When Peter got out, he realized the Lord had delivered him, and says in Romans 12:12, when he, Peter, realized this, he went to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose name was Mark, where many were gathered together and were praying. They were there praying for Peter when he arrived at the door. Imagine that. You're praying for Peter to be released, and then he comes knocking on the door. I don't know about you, but I want to experience what it would be like if we were just a praying church coming together in prayer so much and interceding and starting to see miracles like this taking place. Wouldn't that be amazing? To see God at work, I know we see him, but even more so. Prayer meetings were normal in the early church. How are you doing on this? You see, this isn't advanced Christianity. This is basic Christianity 101. And we have opportunities to pray with all of us together as Christians during the week here at the church. Like I mentioned, Wednesday evening, 7 p.m. Come on out. If you can't, join us through Zoom. We're planning to begin a weekly early prayer meetings as well. We're not sure if it's going to be Wednesday or Friday yet, but before going to work, around 6 o'clock, come here and pray. We'll let you know what day. Come early on Sunday mornings before worship to pray with one another. Invite each other to your homes to pray. When we are devoted to prayer, it will often pray spontaneously as well throughout your day. And this is normal and good. This is part of being devoted to prayer. I remember at my other job, I worked at a repair shop, repairing pneumatic equipment and electrical equipment and so forth. And part of it was washing parts in a big tank. You take the machine apart, you go wash the parts, you put it back together. And that was kind of a spontaneous place of prayer for me, when I was washing parts, kind of like washing dishes. I just spend time praying whatever's going on in my life in that moment, bring it to God. So it's good to have these planned out structures, moments of prayer, but also to have spontaneous moments throughout the day. Perhaps you have a habit, if you see an ambulance drive by when you're driving, to pray for that situation, wherever that ambulance is going. These spontaneous moments of prayer. And consistently develop this habit, this pattern, this character of prayer as a lifestyle. Consistent and constant, bringing all your needs before God, the concerns of your day throughout the day to him. We're running out of time here, but what comes to mind is from Luke chapter 18, the parable of the persistent widow. Read it on your own this evening when you get home. and think about that parable that Jesus taught on the persistence of prayer. So let's become even more and more of a praying church, amen? Let's not just say that today, let's actually do it, let's take action, let's pray, let's devote ourselves to prayer, because I'm excited to see what God will do amongst us, because He will move when we devote ourselves to pray. Make it a goal in your spiritual walk with God this fall. Watch your faith grow. Watch God and your relationship with Him grow closer and deeper. Only good can come of it. So that's God's word to us today. Give yourself to prayer. Be devoted to prayer. We need to, because God commands it. God acts on our behalf when we pray. Let's pray. Can I ask you to stand with me?